Welcome back to Ryer on YouTube. It is TR in the AM early on a Tuesday morning, right around 7 Eastern, a little bit after 7 Eastern. So if you want to get after me in the show chat about being a little bit tardy this morning, I get it. I would use the old radio days excuse that, you know, we had that top of the hour traffic and scores update and sports news update, but I can't do it. Can't do it. I mean, this is YouTube. You go on when you want or when you're supposed to, and you get off whenever you want or whenever you're supposed to. Either way, we're here early on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for jumping on with us. Jump into the show chat. Let us know what you're thinking. We're going to talk Alabama football, transfer portal talk, and no shortage. The topics, the transfer portal, of course, continues to whir around college football. We'll get more into the specifics as it relates right now in real time where the Crimson Tide is concerned, knowing that by the time we get off of here, I don't know, in the next 30, 45 minutes or so, something else will have changed with this roster, or perhaps there'll be news of incoming talent acquisition. Either way, again, we'll get into all of that with you. Did you catch that FCS championship game last night, by the way? Hell of a football game in Nashville, wasn't it? The Bobcats of Montana State, Bozeman, Montana, stand up. You know, it's more than just a backdrop for Yellowstone, okay? Bozeman, Montana, a tourist hotbed. A lot of people, a lot of the natives out there in Montana these days with all of the California, all of the Californians coming into Montana now, refer to Bozeman as Bozangeles. It has been populated so much. It has exploded in population growth. You know, and great state. Our oldest, our son Evan, lived out in Butte, Montana for a couple of years. So I know they're very happy having been out there a couple times to visit him. It is kind of like Alabama Auburn out there. You'd be surprised. I mean, it is, you are either Grizz or you're Bobcats. And they get into it. Very football passionate people out there. So happy for Montana State. Tough one for Illinois State last night. Fighting back. Really, the road Illinois State took to that game in general. Had to go to North Dakota State, perennial FCS power, early in the playoff and get a win, and did that. I think they went through Philadelphia, went through Villanova. I mean, they went all over the country to get wins, to get to Nashville, came back from that halftime deficit, had an opportunity in regulation, scored first in overtime. Field goal PAT team was an absolute disaster for Illinois State last night. And the Bobcats on a 4th and 10. You like bringing that blitz, huh? Everybody always says, bring the house. Illinois State brought the house on that 4th and 10. And Montana State had a little answer for it on that corner route for a touchdown. Of course, Montana State kicks the extra point. And there you go. Let's talk Alabama transfer portal. What do you got for me? Jump into that show chat. Let me know what you're thinking. I'm going to get started with news of the acquisition by Alabama of some much needed juice at the running back position in Dalen Hollywood Smothers. And let's get started right there. We want him to go by Hollywood, right? We just want Hollywood Smothers at Alabama. You don't want Dalen Smothers. Just call him Hollywood. I know you got Ryan Williams. Heck, I'm old enough to remember James Hollywood Robinson on the basketball court for the Alabama Crimson Tide. Regardless, Smothers comes in as a guy who over the last 2 years at NC State has averaged right around 6 yards per carry, which is a needed boost for this Alabama run game because, as we talked about here on the channel here in the last few days, Alabama with a historically unproductive run game in 2025. Top three running backs, none of them averaged even 4 yards per carry, which is hard to believe just a few years removed from the likes of Najee Harris and, you know, Derrick Henry in 2015. He wasn't a big yards per carry guy, but the guy carried it 400 times, you know? So he would grind on you and then hit the big one. But Smothers twitched up. Big play ability. I know there's been a lot of talk about Jahmyr Gibbs and the similar traits, maybe between Smothers and Gibbs, both guys ACC stars before making their way to Tuscaloosa. Gibbs, of course, at Georgia Tech. Smothers coming over from NC State. And like Gibbs, Smothers had big yards per catch numbers during his time with the Wolfpack. Now, more of that in 2024, not so much in 2025. Love the ball security attributes that Smothers has exhibited to this point of his college career as well. One lost fumble on 300-plus touches the last two seasons for Dalen Hollywood Smothers. I'll tell you another guy that I see some of when I watch Hollywood Smothers. And I'm not saying, I'm not going to be one of these people that try to get on YouTube and tell you, oh yeah, he is the next Jahmyr Gibbs, or he is the next insert this back or big play producer's name right here. But I see some James Cook. Remember James Cook, former star at the University of Georgia, twitched up, change of direction, instinctive, can catch it out of the backfield. All James Cook did in 2025 is lead the National Football League in rushing. Not saying it's going to be that type of situation for the ACC's leading rusher in 2025 in Hollywood Smothers, just giving you some traits and attributes that I see. And again, as much as anything, a guy that it doesn't feel like it has to be blocked exactly perfect for him to be productive. He can make some wrongs right with his ability, with his change of direction, with his twitch, with his ability to get up to top speed in a very efficient manner. So on the surface, production-wise, what you know about this guy looks to be a very nice addition. Love the experience. This isn't to say guys like A.K. Deer can't give you explosiveness at the running back position, but in this day and age, if you've got access to a productive, electric type of player like Hollywood Smothers, regardless of what you've got in your room, you got to go there. You got to go get that kind of guy. And that's what the Alabama Crimson Tide has done with Hollywood Smothers. Now, there's been some other developments on the portal front for Alabama that I wanted to get into a little bit this morning with you in the last day or so. Quay Rousseau apparently moving on, or at least exploring the transfer portal. The Montgomery native, the Wolf defender, who had some injury issues in 2025, also at a position where Yonze Pierre really took a big step forward in 2025. So you add Rousseau, who was your primary Wolf going into the season, to that list of departures, along with Noah Carter and even Keon Keeley, if you want to throw him in there, because when you think Wolf and you think Keon Keeley, even though by position he may not technically be a Wolf, he was used situationally as an edge pass rusher. You know, that's three guys moving on from an area of your football team that is certainly of value, edge in college football, pro football, Pop Warner, a lot of value there. And, you know, you went into this offseason after the loss to Indiana, and you can have four guys, five guys at a particular area of your team that you'd love to keep. But the reality right now is that it will be difficult to keep really more than half of those. So if you had four Wolves going into the offseason that were your top four, if you keep two, that's probably about what you're looking at, especially if you're keeping your top Wolf, which it appears right now as if Alabama is going to do that with Yonze Pierre. Now, Rousseau, I don't think it's a bad move by Rousseau, if nothing else, to go see what your value is on the open market. And I think in some instances, that's what this is. I'm not saying Quay Rousseau will be back at Alabama. I mean, given his position, and he's got enough documented production, he hasn't been an all-conference type of player as of yet. I don't feel like going into 2026, he was their top guy. at that position. I like Yonzi Pierre as an every down player right now, more so than any other guy they've got. But again, I can see Quay Rousseau doing well. He's going to have plenty of suitors, I think, because he's sturdy enough on early downs to be on the field. And then he can also, you know, be a guy that can rush the passer in third and long or in obvious passing situations. I also think if you put him in a system where he can pretty much know down in and down out, you know, where he's going to line up and what his responsibilities are going to be, that could be a benefit for him too. I think Yonzi fits what Kane Womack likes to do with that position better from that perspective as well, because Kane likes to move that guy around, that position around. I mean, as we've seen, sometimes you'll see, and Yonzi, it's not easy what they ask that guy to do, because they'll put him in the middle of the field. And then, okay, let's see you get into like a drop in pass coverage like you'd see from a weak side linebacker. There's a lot going on with the Wolf position. I won't pretend to always understand it, but we'll see what happens with Quay Rousseau. Now, one of those seems like rare these days reversals of a portal decision involved Rico Scott, the wide receiver, apparently decides against the portal. You know, you think about the wide receiver position, Jeremy Bernard, as expected, heads to the NFL, Isaiah Horton with an NFL decision to make, Cole Adams moves on, Jalen Hale moves on, Jalen Mbakwe moves on. I think that, by the way, is a good fit for Jalen Mbakwe at Georgia Tech. And apparently it could be that he goes back to the defensive side of the ball. It doesn't matter to me if he's offense or defense. He needs to settle wherever he in Tech looks like where he's going to drop. He needs to settle on a position, and he's only got 2 years of eligibility left. You know, we think about it now more so in terms of earning power, earning time during your college career because of NIL, but you're also, now that we're finally getting away from the COVID eligibility situation, you know, you're that clock on your eligibility runs the other way with the NFL coming up very, very quickly. So for Rico Scott, though, some upward mobility, it would appear. We talked about Lottie Brooks and how he has probably eaten into some reps or did eat into some reps for some other guys. In 2025, I think Rico Scott, as the season wore on, was one of those guys. But I don't think they're attached at the hip, Rico Scott and Lottie Brooks. I think both those guys can do enough both inside and outside that you can play them together. What I've always liked about Rico Scott is that I think he gives you some John Mechie at the wide receiver position. You can play him inside. You can play him outside. He can give you some physicality, which Mechie was obviously known for during his time at Alabama. So he's had a full season as a rotational guy, should fully grasp what and where he needs to improve moving forward. So certainly a top five type candidate, even with Sadarian Morgan coming in from the high school ranks. The Cam Coleman talk, who knows where that's going to go. That may be more of a Texas school situation for Cam Coleman. I mean, what about Texas Tech? We could do a podcast just on the Red Raiders and that, that natural energy money they've got out there, in West Texas. I've been to Lubbock, man. I probably like Lubbock more than most folks simply because E.B. May's barbecue is out in the greater Lubbock metropolitan area. If you're ever out there, Evie May's best brisket you'll ever eat. But boy, they've got their own version of the Landman out there, don't they? Tommy Norris, not even Tommy Norris, the people Tommy Norris worked for on Landman must be out there in Lubbock because they're coming with the cash. There's no doubt about it. So Rico Scott, it looks like for now, will be back. Parker Brailsford at the center position announces that he will move on to the NFL draft. With Parker, it'll be interesting to see how his size checks out with NFL clubs. He was listed at Alabama at 6'2", 290. You know, look, I hear people talk about, you know, they want more physicality at the center position. They want more mass, you know, and I started to think about who are some of the Alabama centers, you know, in the last 20, 25 years that the Crimson Tide has had a lot of success with at the center position. You can go back to William Blahos early in the Saban era. He wasn't exactly a physical specimen, but Blahos certainly got the job done. You know, you can think about Barrett Jones making that move to center after Blahos moved on. Barrett, a technician in every sense of the word, but was he a physically dominating presence right there in the middle of the offensive line during, I think it was, what, the 2012 season? That great offensive line that he helped spearhead there at the center spot after moving inside from tackle. Ryan Kelly, I mean, that's an all-timer in Alabama football history at the center position. Ryan also physically capable, but I wouldn't say sturdiness, strength, those things were necessarily his top attribute. Alabama with Ross Pierce-Baker got the job done. J.C. Hasenauer, these weren't guys that were 6'5", 330 at the center position. Now, Landon Dickerson in 2020, he was kind of the exception to all that. He definitely was that presence right there in the middle of the offensive line before he went down with that injury in the SEC championship game against the Florida Gators. And I don't know if a lot of people even still realize this. Drake, you know who's the starting center for the Miami Hurricanes right now? Played 3 years at Alabama, only saw action in 15 games. James Brockermeyer. Came to Alabama with his brother, Tommy. Tommy was the five-star of the two as an offensive tackle, never panned out for Alabama on the offensive line. But people talk about this Miami offensive line as maybe the best in college football right now. James Brockermeyer, he's an older dude now because he went from Alabama to TCU, started for a year, so he's a fifth-year guy, which undoubtedly helps him. He's 6'2", 6'3", 290-ish. So he's not that guy either. So that kind of takes you into where Alabama might be headed at the center position. And Caden Strayhorn, previously a Michigan, has been in the news with Alabama for sure. He unofficially visited Alabama as a recruit, I'm guessing with Big Mike Carroll. You know, they played together, as you know by now, I'm sure, at IMG. Strayhorn's dad played for Nick Saban at Michigan State. Strayhorn decided on the University of Michigan instead of Michigan State because there was a coaching change up in East Lansing. So he ends up at the rival Michigan. And I think he has some physical traits that are reminiscent of Parker Brailsford. He's 6'2", he's around 300 pounds. He was behind a fifth-year senior this season at Michigan, still saw action in a couple games. So what you like about Strayhorn is that you've got some room for him to grow. He did see some action as a true freshman for the Wolverines, but there is certainly room for him to continue to reach his potential at a place like Alabama. It's, you know, kind of lines up with Alabama's types on the offensive line from the transfer portal in recent years. I mean, you think about some of the moves that they've made, guys like Dewberry, Vandermark, Nyquel Bernard, Arkell Anuwum, guys that have played elsewhere, but not necessarily stars. It's going to be hard in the portal to just go out and say, hey, we're going to go get five starting offensive linemen from P4s that have played or started 20 plus games in their career. So you're going to have to roll the dice a little bit when it comes to offensive line, just like you do when they're coming out of high school. But you would like to see more along the lines of even Tyler Steen type of additions on the offensive line. Jimothy Lewis at the tackle spot, you know, one of those guys that Alabama has shown interest in, has been in Tuscaloosa, previously of Mississippi State, started four games for the Bulldogs this past season. Still has a couple of years of eligibility. checks the boxes in terms of trait, 6'6", 300 pounds. So those are some other guys on this offensive line. I know that's a big point of emphasis for a lot of Alabama fans here as we move forward. What else you got for me early on a Tuesday morning? What do we got? Tim wants to know straight up, what happens to Ty? I don't care for the current state of college football and the forcing of these kids out so you don't lose your young star. Anyway, I mean, I got to think with Ty, we're going to hear something here pretty soon because you're going to get to the closure of the portal window, which is going to run you right up into those declarations for the NFL draft. And obviously, there's going to be a domino effect, you would think. To what extent does that go? I don't know. But if Ty comes back, you've got a guy in Austin Mack who is certainly developed and kind of waited his turn to this point. Does he continue to do that? Keelan Russell, does he work off the assumption that, okay, if Ty comes back, it's just for one more year, can still continue to develop in a good place. There you go. It's a wait and see. With Ty Simpson, there's a lot. I know Pete Thamel of ESPN and some others are still sort of leaning, it feels like, towards the NFL draft for Ty Simpson. And as we talked about here on the channel on Saturday morning, I mean, it's a year. If you're projected as a top three or four quarterback in this upcoming draft, because it's not especially, I'm not crazy. I can't sit here and tell you, I think, you know, Dante Moore of Oregon or Fernando Mendoza of Indiana are slam dunk stars in the NFL. They're going to get drafted top 10 because teams drafting in the top 10 typically don't have great quarterback play. Certainly teams in the top 3 to 5. Now the Giants could be the exception. It looks like they're all in on Jackson Dart. But the Jets, you know, the Raiders, I don't think you get beyond them in the top 5 without two quarterbacks going. So if you have two quarterbacks going in the top 5, you still got 26, 27 picks in the first round with teams that could be looking at quarterbacks. Not all of them, but more than a few for sure. And that's, I'm sure, what could make this attractive for Ty Simpson. Oh, Jay Fravell chiming in here. The running back from Arizona State visiting today. Transfers will be a college three. No way he can graduate. Not, I don't know exactly. I know you're talking about Relique Brown, right? The back. Isn't that the back from Arizona State? I think it was Chris Hummer and Matt Zenitz last night of note who put in crystal balls for Relique Brown to end up at Texas, which could have been tied into Alabama's pecking order with the running back position. They get Hollywood Smothers in town. Everything goes well. He gets on board. Then Relique becomes less of a priority. I like him too. I mean, he's a small back. Very productive this season. But I don't know. I've talked about the need for more complementary football from Alabama, not just in terms of offense to defense and kicking game and how those things line up over the course of the game. I'm talking about just how personnel complements other personnel on this roster. So if you got a guy like Hollywood coming in, with what he brings to the table at about 5'10", 5'11", 190 pounds or so. I don't know if bringing in a 5'8", 170-pound back to go along with him necessarily complements things. Now, you put Hollywood Smothers with a 240-pound back who plays to 240 pounds, like Daniel Hill can, now you're talking about complementing things. Now you're talking about, you know, some thunder and lightning there in the backfield. And even if it isn't as much Daniel Hill, another back like that, you know, that can bang on people a little bit too, when you want to do that. Oh, it's early. It's early. Okay. Good for you. Dunkel said is his sister's pregnant. Dunkel's got jokes early this morning. All right. Oh, boy. Let's see. Foodie, I've been to Austin, and I've tried the I had Terry Black's. I was out there for the Alabama-Texas game a couple years ago. I've had Terry Black's. I've had Le Barbecue, which I really enjoyed. I haven't had Franklin's, so I can't put it up there with that yet. But, yeah, Austin Barbecue is very, very good. But I'll put Evie Mays up there with anybody's. Plus, Evie Mays has free cold beer. That never hurts. You know, they got a big, big, big bucket of ice cold beer when you walk into Evie Mays. So we've talked the running back situation. We've talked some offensive line. There is still some possibilities out there on the defensive side of the ball. Caleb Woodson, the starting linebacker from Virginia Tech, has been in town. Devon Tompkins, the defensive line transfer from USC, has been linked to Alabama in the last week or so. That's a guy that I can tell you SC wasn't thrilled about hitting the portal. You know, some of these guys hit the portal and there's really not much of a aftershock, it feels like. I think Devon Tompkins is one of those guys. And what I like about him is I know he's been coached previously by a legit NFL guy in Eric Henderson, the defensive line coach out at SC. Hen is one of the best in the game when it comes to developing and coaching defensive linemen. Before SC, he had done it with the Los Angeles Rams, and he is a guy that's perhaps going to be in the portal himself. Depending on what SC does at the defensive coordinator spot, you could see Eric Henderson make his way east, maybe perhaps more so where Georgia Tech is concerned. Brent Key's doing a good job this offseason of sort of navigating things, the former Alabama offensive line coach. Now, he's lost an important quarterback piece to Florida with Buster Faulkner, the OC, going down to Gainesville. But it looks like at this point, Key's going to have that thing situated in a good place on a pretty, pretty consistent basis. So what else do you got for me on a Tuesday morning before we wrap it up here on Ryer on YouTube? If you haven't subscribed to Ryer on YouTube, go ahead and hit that subscribe button right now. Turn on that notification bell. That way you're alerted to our content as it drops right here on Ryer on YouTube. And if you could give us a thumbs up, we would appreciate that as well. Let's see. One last check. Steven chiming in. I'm not liking all the West Coast players. Seems like old Pac-10 type team, not SEC toughness. I mean, that's going to be the narrative you continue to hear with Alabama football until you see it. Until you see it on the field. You know, I mean, I get it. It's fair after what we saw, not just this season, because again, I'm not going to go as far as to say the entire season was a failure. That stretch from Georgia through LSU was really impressive football. But sure, you know, as we've talked about too, there's got to be more striking involved from Alabama football. I know everybody equates it to the run game and the lack of production there, totally understandable, but I haven't seen enough striking from any area of Alabama football in the last couple of years. So you got to change, as Nick Saban said, what was it before that 2020 LSU game? You got to change the way people think. And right now, the way people think about Alabama football, they don't even have to come out and say it. You can kind of see it. So that's going to be on Kalen DeBoer. That's going to be on this coaching staff, and that'll continue to be a big part of this thing. It's going to be a big part of this thing moving forward, you know, as we get to the end of the portal and then into the next phase of things, you know, how it sort of transitions into the coaching staff. And, you know, what does DeBoer do in those areas of staff? Does he sit? Does he stand pat for the most part? Does he make some changes in some other areas? Stephen Burton says, I'll tell you one guy who likes to hit, and that is Bray Hubbard. Bray will hit you. You know, Bray is, for the most part, maybe the most fundamentally sound player Alabama has, too. But he's a playmaker. I mean, he makes plays. It's not just right place at the right time. That helps, for sure. But he can make some plays. He's got an NFL decision to make, too. So I would think he would come back. But you just don't know. You still got what? It's Jan 6. You still got what? You still got 8 to 10 days of this stuff before that window closes down. So the thing I tell myself is don't be surprised by anything. I refuse to allow myself to be surprised these days in this transfer portal era. You got big basketball game tomorrow night, by the way. Alabama on the road in Nashville at that funky gym up there. Memorial Gymnasium in Nashville. Thought Nashville, by the way, great spot for the FCS championship game. Just settle it right there. Nashville is becoming the spot for everything, especially east of the Mississippi, right? I mean, the SEC basketball tournament, men's basketball tournament, just needs to be in Nashville every year. Just put the FCS championship game in Nashville every year. And we've also got we got college football playoff semifinals coming up Thursday and Friday. I saw where the ticket prices out in Glendale aren't exactly through the old roof out there in the Phoenix area, which, I mean, come on. It's kind of similar to when you had Clemson and Alabama out in Glendale for the national championship. Initially, yeah, the prices were high, but boy, as you got the game day for that national championship game, they were cheap. And it's Glendale, Arizona. I mean, you know, Miami and Ole Miss traveling out to Glendale. Shouldn't be a college football playoff game west of Dallas. Dallas should be as far east. You want to play bowl games out there? Great, you know. But other than the Rose Bowl, there should not be a college football playoff game contested west of Dallas, Texas. You know, it feels like Miami Ole Miss should be in Atlanta. I mean, just Oregon and Indiana should be out in Glendale, right? Feels like they got those switched up. And Oregon and Indiana, being in the Big Ten these days, they probably don't care about the travel. I mean, they've been coast to coast throughout the season, just in the regular season. But it should be a fun semifinal couple of games, especially Miami and the Ole Miss Rebels, who, by the way, look to get Trinidad Chambliss back in 2026 if he can get the waiver. A lot of folks are hanging on waivers at the quarterback position. Joey Aguilar still, I guess, holding out hope at Tennessee, where that sort of Diego Pavia extra year lawsuit has not been entirely closed in terms of the chapter of that book. And then Trinidad Chambliss waiting on his waiver to get an answer from the NC2A. So could be big, would be big for sure. Ole Miss got some money too, don't they? I mean, when you see some of these players in the portal and the teams, you expect Texas A&M. At this point, you expect Texas Tech. You know, you expect Texas. You expect Ohio State, but Ole Miss showing up in a lot of those with these transfer portal players. Been very good to the Rebels in recent years. That's going to do it for TR in the AM. Thanks to everyone who chimed in this morning. Well, almost everyone. And again, if you can hit us with a like, a thumbs up, that would help us out tremendously. We've got some radio hits coming up. around the state of Alabama in the next 20 minutes or so. I'll be on in Mobile with Lee and Mark on the local sports talk there in Mobile, Alabama. Coming up at 8 Central, I'll be on with Longshore and McKnight doing their thing, based out of the Montgomery area. Steven still has a question here before we get out of here. Steven asked, do we really think the 4- and 5-star running backs Alabama has recruited are that bad or of a miss, or is Rob G not coaching like Burton Burns? Look, you know, Burton Burns all-timer. It's like asking about, is the offensive line being coached to the level that Jeff Stoutland coached it for a couple of years there in what, 12, 13? I mean, come on. You're talking about all-timers when you talk about Burton Burns and guys like Jeff Stoutland. So I think Rob G, put it this way, if Rob G left Alabama for whatever reason today, I think Rob G would have a place pretty quickly at the P4 level. He is certainly a P4 caliber running back coach. I don't think Alabama has missed as much. You know, there's a couple things that go into it. Ask me that question again in a year, because EJ Crowell's coming in from the high school ranks to go along with Hollywood Smothers. AK Deer, after a full year in the program, let's see what happens there with him. You know, Daniel Hill, let's see what happens with him. So you obviously had a big departure via the transfer portal after last year in Justice Haynes to Michigan. You know, Jam had injury issues, multitude of injury issues. I'm not saying Jam Miller healthy is Josh Jacobs by any stretch of the imagination, but you have to take that into account with this season. I want to table that for a year. I think Rob G's a good coach, and I think they've recruited well enough. They've recruited enough of the guys that the other guys wanted, put it that way. You know, it's not like they're going out and saying, hey, let's go sign this back from Greenville that nobody's really after, but we think we've got an evaluation on this guy like Alabama had on Josh Jacobs coming out of, what was it, the Tulsa area years ago before anybody else really got in on him. I think Jeremy Pruitt was a part of that when they were able to unearth Josh Jacobs out there. Burton was a part of that, I think. So I want another 11 months, Steven, on that one with the running backs. I think Smothers is a really good starting point towards getting that situation, getting that run game where it needs to be. And I'm not saying it's all running backs either. You know, the offensive line play has obviously got to be better than what it was. The tight end play in the run game has to be better. More of the commitment to it has to be there, and not just on game days. Run game is something that has to be mindset based in large part. And that starts right now. That starts when you come back for winter workouts and those type of things and spring ball. It's a year round thing. Run game's not a Saturdays in the fall thing. It's a 365, 24/7 thing. And it's hard to have as sort of a sidecar. You know, you gotta be married to it to an extent, I guess is what I'm saying. Hey, thanks for chiming in. Thanks for tuning in early on a Tuesday. It is Ryer on YouTube. Hit that subscribe button. Hit us with a like if you don't mind. We would greatly appreciate it. We'll be back here on the channel very, very soon. And until then, so long, everybody.